This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi friends, and welcome back to another episode of Open House, a fresh, fun, and real podcast where I, Louise Rumble, invite you inside the therapy room with me to learn from some of the very best psychologists, therapists, and sex and intimacy coaches that I have found. No topic is off the table, no question too juicy, and no experience too shameful. At Open House, everyone is welcome. And we're on a mission to develop a new mental health experience for all, because we believe that true happiness is coming home to yourself under the layers and layers of you that society has told you to be. As ever, please remember that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only, and you should always seek professional medical help when necessary. Now, let's get into it, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Open House podcast. It's me, the host of this podcast, Louise Rumble, coming to you today with a solo episode. I haven't done one of these in a while, and people ask for more of them. And I've decided actually that this year we're going to have a bit of a pivot, a glow up, a change up, a transformation on our content. The reason for that is, if you guys haven't noticed, we are like 100 episodes into series two, which is crazy. And most people would like stop, take a hot second, see what's working, see what's not, and maybe come back after a small break for series three. Now, you guys know me. I am a crazy workaholic that like literally can never stop anything. So of course, I did not do that. But there are some really exciting things coming soon. I can't wait to share them with you. More things like Q&As with the therapists, more things like Q&As with me, more things like life updates from me, and me giving you my insight onto what is going on in your life, because I get messages all the time. Can you help with this? What about this? And I just think doing some more Q&A questions is going to be interesting and fun and helpful for you guys. There's also lots of things planned that are coming soon, so I can't wait to share those with you. However, today, I am not here to talk about me. I'm actually also not here to talk about you. Well, I am, but I am here to talk about your future person. If you are single, there is no doubt that maybe you want to find that person in your life. And that's not a good thing. That's not a bad thing. If you want a relationship, that is okay. It's something to be celebrated. It's something to be excited by. It's something to be proud of. We're told that we have to be out here playing it cool and like being the chill girl. But the more and more work that we do on this podcast, we realize that if you keep your voice quiet, you are never going to get what you want. So first up, if you want a partner, if you want a girlfriend, if you want a boyfriend, good for fucking you. This episode is for you. We're going to be talking about how to call in your person, how to find the one, how to find your soulmate, how to get a boyfriend in 2024, also how to get a girlfriend. Whatever you're looking for, there's going to be something in this episode for everyone. And a huge part of what I do at Open House is I feel like some coaches and businesses, they only really go like surface level. They maybe stop at how to use the dating apps, or they say, go on lots of dates and ask meaningful questions. And I feel like everyone gets really frustrated about the advice that's given out. As you guys know, I am here to connect the dots for you. I'm here to help you understand how to really work out what the fuck is going on and how to actually break those cycles. So I'm going to run you through the Louise Rumble approach to calling in your man or woman. Now, when most people want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they start looking in the now, right? And this is where this episode is going to be totally different. People look in the now. They're like, where can I find people? Where should I go? Who should I match with on a dating app? But the way to find a partner is actually by looking backwards. Sounds super counterintuitive, but let me explain what I'm talking about. So the first thing that you're going to do on your cruise journey, whatever it is to finding a soulmate, you are going to do a previous partner audit. That is because you need to understand the cycles and the patterns that you are running in the present and how they were created in the past to be able to break the cycle that is running, that is holding you back from finding the right person. Because truthfully, I feel like people say all the time, like, I just don't understand. It seems so easy for everyone else. Like, why is it not easy for me? And for the most part, that is because you are running cycles that you got to just shed some self-awareness on. And then once you do that, you can start to work out what the patterns are, where they came from, how they show up in your day-to-day life, and then you can start to break them and rewire them. So first up, by listening to this podcast, you're here, you're doing the work. I am fucking proud of you. When I met my current partner, Mr. Sexy Mexican Man, I wasn't looking for love. I was so heartbroken. Still, like a year and a half later, I was only just getting over that. So I wasn't really doing the work to find a partner. I was just doing the work on myself, knowing that the more work I did on myself would equal a healthier me, and then that would attract a healthier them. And that is exactly what happened. I am now in the healthiest relationship with the healthiest man that I have ever met in my whole entire life. But it wasn't always that way. So first off, you got to start with a previous partner audit. Look back at your exes and work out, what pattern am I running? I'm going to give you some questions to help you answer that. So first up, what are some common personality traits or characteristics among your exes? I'm also going to give you some insight into my answers to keep this episode interesting and juicy. So I would say that my pattern was going for emotionally unavailable men, but then when I was with them, when I finally got them to commit to me, they would worship me. And don't get me wrong, that's absolutely what I want in a relationship. But I do think that having gone to therapy, I've realized that there's some like deeper issues around caretaking. Sometimes they act a bit like my mom, which is very caring. They cook, they clean, they do everything for me. Whereas I take on the more masculine energy in the relationship outside of the bedroom, just like in day-to-day life. Like, my business is my baby. My business is everything to me. And I'm so excited about what I'm building. But the repercussions of that mean that sometimes I end up with more, I guess, like feminine men around me. And that's not in a bad way, just like very homely and very caring, which I love because that's one of my wounds, is I need to be cared for because I felt like I never got that as a kid other than from my mom. So look back, are there any traits or characteristics that are similar amongst your exes? Same thing with the power dynamic. How did it feel? Like in my last two relationships, I felt like I was loved and cared for and worshipped, but that maybe I was the one that was in control or was like controlling everything. And that is not a partnership, right? A partnership is two healthy individuals partnering together. So ask yourself about any common personality traits, common characteristics, common power dynamics that run across them. Also like recurring patterns in the types of people you dated. For me, when I was younger, I loved me an athlete, like your rugby boy, your football boy, and that was definitely a recurring pattern, because not to say that all athletes are the same, but there is definitely an element in like team sports and professional sports, like the glitz and the glamour and the ego and like the sometimes toxic masculinity. So ask yourself about recurring patterns in their life. Are you dating the same kinds of people? Do they have the same interests, the same values, the same lifestyles, the same religions? Once you started to look at that, you might start to see some patterns coming out. And it's also okay if you don't. Like, my relationships generally were like quite healthy when I was younger-ish. And then I had a horrendous toxic relationship in the middle of my 20s. And then to the back end of my 20s, I had these much more profound, deep, connective relationships that maybe weren't with the right people, but they really started to show me how to love myself and how to talk and how to be vulnerable. So I do believe that not everything is the same, and we learn so many different lessons from so many different people. So it's okay if you don't have these recurring patterns, but it is likely that there will be something that is recurring. Maybe it's conflict. Ask yourself, how did I communicate with these exes? Did I tell them how I felt about things? Did I shout? Did I hold my tongue? Was I quiet? Were they angry? Did we shout and fight, or did we just suppress and pretend like the conflict wasn't happening? Also ask yourself, when you communicated with them about how you felt, were they able to hold your feelings? So reflect on that piece around conflict and communication, and really just start to work out like who you are when you're in a relationship, because you are going to meet someone, whether it's today, tomorrow, next month, or next year, all of a sudden you are going to be in a relationship. And all of these questions about how do I communicate in a relationship? How do I do conflict in a relationship? How do I want to be loved? How do I accept being loved? Who do I entertain? all of these things are going to come to the forefront. So it's really good to understand the answers to these questions before it happens. Again, it's also good to look at recurring themes of attachment style. So what is your attachment style and what type of person were you attracted to? I, again, in my relationships, generally went for quite secure people because they had this like deep desperation to be loved and to also love. But when I was dating, I was the anxious and I was constantly chasing the avoidant. Like Mr. Unavailable got me fucking going. And that was a big wound for me to unpick. And it all ties back to the father wound and daddy issues. So if you haven't gone to listen to those podcasts, I think it's 72, 86, and there's another one as well. If you just search the back catalog, we can take you on that journey. You also should look at why you broke up with all of your partners. Did you cheat on them? Did they cheat on you? Did you feel like you didn't want the same things in life? Whatever it is, it's really important to look at that because often with the first year or 2 years in a relationship, it is so good. There's no problems. And then bam, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you are deeply avoidant and I want to be with someone that can actually communicate with me or that wants to be in vulnerable, uncomfortable moments with me and wants to hold me when I'm crying rather than calling me dramatic. So you need to look at what those incompatibilities were in your past relationships and then ask how often did it come up and when did it come up in the relationship? So this is a very quick whistle-stop tour of the previous partner audit, but this is truly how I believe you start the journey to working out who you are most likely to date next. You need to understand who you date to understand who you are most likely to date next. Once you understand that, that is how you can change the cycle. Okay, so at this point, you're maybe becoming clear on how you communicate in your relationships, how you have conflict in your relationships, how you attach to people in your relationships, and you need to briefly reflect on your relationship with your parents. How did they communicate? How did they have conflict? How did they love each other? Were they open with their vulnerability and maybe with how they feel and also like touching and kissing and cuddling? Or was there no emotion in the house and there was no kissing and cuddling and there was actually fighting or abuse? It's different for everyone. Now, again, the reason that you need to look back on this and also look at your relationship with mom and dad and sometimes siblings too is because often in your romantic relationships, you will be playing out a dynamic that your nervous system and your inner child is very familiar with, but your adult is trying to make a different ending. What I mean by that is often as children, we internalize these stories about daddy wasn't there, dad didn't love me, I didn't make dad proud, I don't remember feeling loved, et cetera, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden we have this fantasy and this belief that if we can just change the ending of the story in adulthood, then everything will be okay. So again, by looking at the previous partners and then looking at how it ties back to childhood, you can start to understand like, oh, wait, shit, hold on a second. There are some dots that are connected here. Okay, point three on this journey of calling in your soulmate. At this point, you've identified your unconscious attraction or your involuntary attraction. I like to call this attraction therapy. This is literally working out who you are attracted to and who you attract. Because what that really means is who your nervous system attracts because they feel comfortable with. Now, one of the most fucked up things that we talk about all the time is that our nervous system stays close to what is familiar. And the reason for that is because we know the outcome. Our subconscious mind can predict the ending. And even if it hurt us so badly the last time it happened, our subconscious mind also knows we survived it. So you might have been abandoned. You might have been rejected. You might have been cheated on. You might have spent 2 years chasing an avoidant man or woman. You might have been the other woman, the other man. Your nervous system knows how to handle these situations. And that is what your nervous system is attracted to. Now, again, this work is so important because I see a lot of people just going on dates, just like hoping that they're going to find the right person and then everything's going to make sense and everything's going to slot into place. But that is not how life works. Life is messy. Humans are messy. It is not like a jigsaw puzzle where you fit the piece into place. And actually, being in love brings up even more shit than it does being single. So again, if you're listening to this thinking, oh, I'm just going to meet someone and it's all just going to work out. Hate to break it to you, honey. That is actually not going to happen. Yes, sure, your life might get better when you meet them and there will be amazing moments of love, passion, vulnerability, and connection. But there's also going to be a lot of what the fuck moments. Okay, so this is the first part of the exercise of looking back to work out why you are attracting the same people that you are on repeat and then how to break that cycle so you can call in Mr. or Mrs. Right. The next thing you need to understand is your attachment hunger. So this is why you attach so quickly to people. This is why when you meet someone, you're like, oh my God, this is it. This is them. We fantasy them. We fantasy bond them. We put them on pedestals. We're like, this could be the one, the person that could take all the pain away and make everything okay. This is why you fall in love with potential. And this attachment hunger is when you are so hungry for love, for intimacy, for connection, to find your soulmate, to find your partner, that at the smallest hint of it feeling like it might be it, you just literally grab onto it. You don't ask questions. You don't face up to the things that might be red flags. You actually can outright and downright ignore all red flags that are even out there on the table. And the Tinder swindler is like the perfect example of this. These women knew that something was up, but they were so excited by the potential and the fantasy and the experience that they never really stopped for one second to say, who is this man underneath all of this? Now, this is so important because when you start dating, you are going to start thinking ahead. And I'm not talking making Pinterest boards. I'm not talking booking wedding venues. What I am talking is thinking ahead. Is he going to want to see me next Saturday? Is she going to invite me to that holiday next month that she referenced? How would I fit into their family? How would I fit into their friendship groups? And to some extent, these are great questions that you should be asking yourself, but not at the beginning. You only need to ask yourself these questions when you have entered into intimacy at a reasonable speed. And I was guilty of this as hell. I honestly have told you guys the story before of matching with a guy on Raya, finding him on Google, finding that he was like hosting these galas with the Kardashians and the celebrities. And he ran this huge multi-billion dollar brand and he was sexy and he was like Chuck Bass vibes. And I was like, this is it. This is my man. I had never even met the guy. That is attachment hunger. That is your inner child being like, this is it. This is what I want. And if I just get this, everything is going to be okay. That is your inner child like crying out for the hope that this might be the one. So you don't have to go through the pain of dating and dating apps. And finally, you can just be you and just enjoy the rest of your life with stability. The problem with fantasy bonding, the problem with attachment hunger, it never reflects reality. So when I finally went to meet this guy in New York City, it was like the biggest fucking letdown ever. And he also had a twitch. Not that there's anything wrong with having a twitch. Like, I actually feel like I was a very twitchy child, if I'm totally honest. And interestingly, what I have learned since is that if you have a twitch or if anyone is twitchy, that is often the nervous system basically communicating with the outside world that it is dysregulated and it's basically stressed and the body is like holding on to the stress, but it's like trying really hard to hold it and it can get energy into the nerves and like stuff like that. Just thought that was really interesting. Anyway, he had a twitch and I just mean it was this moment where I was like, oh wow, like you're a real human being. And that sounds so stupid, but yeah, it's just like a fantasy that we build that this person is Prince Charming or like Princess Charming, not a term, but you get the hint. And I actually Googled this guy the other day because I'm a freak and he just bought a house in the Hamptons for like multi-million pounds. So he's clearly still doing well. All the best. Hope he's doing well. I remember that we sat in this bar and he literally asked me like, so what are you looking for right now? And I was like, I don't know. And then like 3 hours later, he called me for a booty call and I didn't go. But I remember feeling offended. But like, honey, why were you offended? Like you went on a date with a man from Raya, don't know how you say it. I've always said Raya, but some people seem to say Raya. And he asked you what you wanted and you said you don't know. So that basically means you don't want a relationship. So that was on me. Anyway, I digress. At this point, you should start to have more of an understanding of who you're attracted to. So maybe you are really interested in how much money they make. Maybe you're really interested in the job they have or how they look on the outside. Maybe you are really driven by the butterflies and the chemistry. Maybe you're really attracted to avoidant partners. Maybe you're attracted to people that don't settle down. Maybe you came from a family where your parents fought all the time. So if it's not hot and heavy and chaotic in a relationship, then it feels boring to you. Maybe you came from a family where they never, ever, ever spoke about their emotions. So you feel very comfortable with the emotionally unavailable and avoidant partner. Maybe you came from a family where there was an addict or there were addiction issues. So you had to care for your parent or you had to care for your sibling. And then all of a sudden, you're attracted to people that have problems and challenges because the only way that you know how to feel loved is when you are being helpful and useful and valuable. So what I'm hoping you're realizing from this point is like, there are patterns that we're all running. Once you identify what those patterns are And then you understand why you attach so quickly to people, because basically all of this, the patterns and the attachment hunger, tie back to the little girl or the little boy that's inside of you. You can then start to understand that you need to be watching. You need to be watching every single thing they do, they say, and you need to be taking nothing with a pinch of salt. You need to be building no fantasy, filling in no gaps. You need to literally ask them, what do you mean by that? Or, oh, I'd love it if you could explain that further. You know, when people make little flirty comments, like, be clear. And we're going to come on to that in the next stage of this, which is learning how to use dating apps. Because once you started to understand and analyze your patterns, you'll become aware of the types of people that you feel attracted to, the types of people that give you the spark, the types of people that make you feel excited, the types of people that make you feel like this could be it. On the flip side, you also can start to understand the types of people that don't give you the spark, that don't give you the chase, and that ultimately don't give your nervous system that jolt of adrenaline and butterflies that is so needed by so many of us who grew up in chaos to think that we feel anything at all. So the next part of this episode on how to call in your person is to learn how to use dating apps or to be proactive in dating. So we talk all the time about micro moments and how you can meet anyone, anywhere, at any point. Like, really, your whole life can change in one day, 1 minute, 1 hour. You first up need to make a decision. Are you going to use dating apps or not? Because otherwise you get caught in this in-between ground where you use them and you get frustrated with them and then you delete them and then you go back on them and then you delete them. You need to decide, I'm going to use dating apps and I'm going to use them with intention, or I'm just not going to use them at all and I'm going to make a conscious effort to meet people offline. So let's say that you've decided you want to use dating apps, right? For me, there's 5 things that you need to do to use a dating app efficiently. The first one is your intention. What are you on there for? Are you on there to have a good time, to have casual sex, to find a friend with benefits, or to find a long-term relationship? And even one step further, to find your person and to build a family. Those are all different things. You need to have that intention very, very clear before you get on the app, and you need to be able to communicate that with the other person. Now, if you think you're going to scare them away by doing that, you are only going to scare someone away by saying you want a real relationship and to build a partnership and a future with someone if there is some part of them that is emotionally unavailable, emotionally avoidant, because they will freak the fuck out and they will run away. So actually, by communicating that, you will remove like 75% of the dating pool that can't be bothered to lie and pretend they want that too, just to be intimate with you. So you got to decide, what is your strategy and what is your intention? Second, like I said, you got to be direct with that. You need to be communicating that. You need to be communicating that with them. Third, connection. You are on those apps to build a connection, to find a connection, to nurture a connection. So stop opening conversations with, hey, how are you doing? Hey, how's your day? Hey, what's up? That is not connection. You are on the apps to find connection. Stop asking questions that don't give you any connection. And I know that people listening to this will be like, oh, but everyone's chat is so boring. That is a limiting belief. Yes, there is a lot of superficial surface level chat on the apps. And that's why I said you need to decide whether you're going to use them or not. But if you are going to use them, you need to go in with good, interesting questions. And by that, I mean, reply to something on their profile. Pick something they have put and start a conversation. Ask them a question. Ask their thoughts on something. What are your thoughts on question mark? You can see if they send back like a 5-word answer, like, lol, weird question, huh? Or someone will reply being like, so interesting. I actually listened to this podcast last week about this. Like, what do you think about that? And then you're like, hold on a second. Yes, this is the kind of person that I can have a conversation with. Because remember, you are on the dating apps for connection. So if you are not going to be asking connective questions and giving well thought out connected answers, what are you doing on them? And finally, dating app advice number 5, allocation. Decide how you're going to use them. So when I used to be single, I would go through a process something like this. I would check in every single night before bed and I'd allocate maybe like 30 minutes because you shouldn't just be swiping. And actually, the more you're swiping, the less you're going to be nurturing the conversations that are in your inbox. So really, I would just pick like 2 to 3 at a time and before bed, send some messages, check in. You can even say to them, oh, I normally check into this app before I go to sleep. Keep the conversation on the app to begin with. Ask questions. What are you on here? What do you want from this? Like, how was your day? Keep it fun. Keep it light. It doesn't have to be super serious. but have a time that you allocate to it. And you can check in at other times if you want, if you're on the bus, if you're in an Uber, but try to allocate specific times to it. Now, a lot of people say that you should keep the communication on the app until you meet them. I personally have never arranged a dating app on an app and stayed on the app until I've met them. So just decide how you're going to do this. For me, I was always happy to give them my number. I even would be up for doing some voice notes because, like, I just want to test the vibe before we meet and see how that feels. Some people can even do a FaceTime if you want to do that. But for me, voice notes would often tell me whether I think there was going to be even a loose vibe there or not. Now, the next thing comes back to intention. Get that date in literally within 7 days of talking. You've just got to go and meet. I don't care if you go for a coffee. I don't care if you go for a dog walk, a drink. You want to go bowling. Like, you want to go to the library. You want to go shopping. Whatever it is, I would literally just be like, let's meet. Let me know when works for you. Or I think we should meet. Or I always feel like connections can go super dry if we just talk loads before meeting. So I'm up for meeting if you are. Let me know when works. And then you can push it over to them to make a plan, to propose, et cetera, et cetera. Some people also can put it in their profile. You can put, like, you can make a joke out of it and be like, please, for the love of God, if we match, please ask me on a date within 7 days. You know, be direct, be strategic. You need to meet these people in person to see how you feel. So that is my key advice on how to use dating apps to find someone. Intention, strategy, being direct, connection, communication, and allocation. Okay, next, you got to be clear on your deal breakers and your disqualifiers when trying to find your soulmate. Because there is literally no point spending 2 years of your life engaging with someone that is, for example, 5'10", and then you decide, oh, sorry, I only want to get married to someone that's 6'4" or above. Obviously, that is like the worst advice ever. And please, if you are still filtering on height, you got to stop that. Like, I found the love of my life, the most amazing man that I would never have found on dating apps if I'd put like a 6'4" filter on. So please ask yourself, are my criteria blocking me from finding someone? Because all the time I see someone going on a date and they're like, oh, it was good, but he didn't do this. Or, oh, it was good, but she didn't do that. And I'm like, but how do they make you feel? How did they talk to the bar staff? How did they look at you when you were answering questions? Did they ask you about you and your life? These things are so much more important than some of the other things that we focus on. And yes, sure, there are important things like finances and political views. You have to be aligned and compatible on those things. But I truly believe the more dating criteria that you put on trying to find your soulmate actually can just mean the more emotionally unavailable you are. And so you are putting more roadblocks and hurdles between you and finding the right person. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't have any dating standards. That's the next part of this journey, is to work out, what are your dating standards? How do you want to be treated? Do you want them to lead? Do you want them to make the dates? How early on do you want to be exclusive? You just need to be communicating these things. But in the early stages of dating, we literally don't communicate anything. Like, we feel like we have to be small and quiet and cute. We just stay really small, quiet, and cute. And then we get upset in 6 months' time when we haven't asked them if they're dating someone else and we find out that they are, or we find out that actually they don't want kids and we do. These are the things that you need to be talking about upfront. And these are the things that you need to be talking about, whether you're meeting someone on a dating app or whether you're meeting someone in a coffee shop, in the gym. If you've decided that you're not going to use dating apps, that's fine. But if you want a relationship, you have to be open to talking to strangers. You have to smile at the person next to you when you're checking in. You have to look at someone when they stand next to you at the bar. You have to talk about something stupid to the guy that has stood next to you at the gym or the girl that is getting on the spinning bike next to you. You will not find a person by like staying mute. And I say this to my best friend or one of my best friends all the time. She doesn't talk to guys. She is so beautiful, so amazing, so cute, so wonderful. But she just doesn't like look and talk to guys. And she says, Louise, every time you come to LA, there's just men everywhere. Like, I don't understand it. And I'm like, yes, babe, that's because when I'm with you or when you're with me, we talk to the guy in Air One. We talk to the guy at the hot bar. We talk to the guy that's outside. We talk to the guy with the dog. And the last time we were there, there was this guy that was so fucking cute. And he was with his daughter. And I don't really know if he was single, if he was taken. Obviously, I'm in a relationship, so it really wasn't relevant to me at all. But my friend had these boots on and his little girl had these little cowboy boots on. And I was like, look, your boots are the same. And he looked up and he looked at me and I was like, fuck, he is so hot. And then I looked at my friend and I was like basically saying with my eyes, like, you should talk to this man. And she got the hint. She was like talking to the little girl about the boots. And she was like talking to him. And I was like, this is how you meet people. And then we went out to the car park and he was parked in the car next to us. But we were getting into the car and her parents were there and we were going to watch a sports game. And we left and she was like, oh my God, like I didn't like speak with him. I didn't get his number or anything. And I do understand that on the first time you see someone, like honestly, it is quite difficult to really make the move. But I think that's where, like, if you are in a male-female relationship and you're the female, you just got to stay open. You just have to judge their behavior, smile at them, look at them when they're leaving, give them the opportunity, give them that moment where you can say like, yes, you can approach me. Don't just stay shut down and no emotion, because no one is ever going to ask you out if you are not open, open-hearted, open mind, open emotions. I just ask people stupid questions all the time. I'm like, for example, going into a coffee shop. The other day I saw like pistachio milk and this person behind, I was like, oh my God, what's pistachio milk like? And the guy next to me was like, oh, it's good. So I turned around and I started speaking with him about pistachio milk. Now, obviously I'm not going to be dating a guy in a coffee shop. Again, I have a boyfriend, but it is in that moment where pistachio milk is just the vehicle for you guys to be talking about something else. So just ask a dumb question. Ask a stupid question. Ask, oh, what did you order? Oh, what's the Wi-Fi password? Oh, is that charging point working next to you? Oh, I love your daughter's shoes. Where did you get them from? Like, just ask a stupid question. What is the worst thing that's going to happen? They'll give you the answer and then you're never going to speak again. That is so fine. What's the best that could happen? This could be someone that you could go on a date with, get a coffee with, go and walk the dog with, go for dinner with. And we shouldn't be thinking about, is this my soulmate? Is this my husband? Is this my wife? Because remember, that is attachment hunger. That is potential. That is falling in love with potential. You have to be here in the here and now. In the here and now, every single day. And what else do you have to do in the here and now every single day? You have to communicate. Communicate with them, how you feel. Communicate with yourself to get those answers. When someone says like, oh, I'll see you there. Here's the location. If that doesn't work for you, you can say, hey, that's actually really far from my house. Can we meet somewhere neat? Can we meet somewhere nearer? And also I would go one step further to say, if someone is meeting you near their house, they are not someone that is thinking about you. They are thinking about them. So in those moments, ask yourself, who are they thinking about here? Did they ask you what cuisine you like? Or did they book Japanese because they want to go and have Japanese? Did they ask you where you live? Or did they book for you to meet in Soho because they live in Soho? Did they ask you what time works for you? Or did they tell you what time works for them? And that is my final part of today's episode. You have to watch everything that is going on you. You have to watch everything that is going on around you. And I am not saying this from a space of hypervigilance. No. The more nervous system work you do, the more you learn to calm your nervous system, the more you learn to balance your neurotransmitters, that is how your nervous system can start to function in a state of calm, in a state of safety. That is how you can enjoy passion and intimacy and friendship without it being this crazy chemical cocktail of intermittent reinforcement, dopamine, anticipatory dopamine. Are they going to text me back? Are they not going to text me back? You just have to watch what they do, what they say, how they respond, how they talk to you, if they call you, if they text you, how frequently they do. You have to watch and you have to communicate. But most of all, you have to communicate with yourself. And at all times of this journey, you need to be asking yourself, what am I overlooking here? And at all times of the journey, you need to be asking yourself, how does this feel for me? How does this person feel for me? Right now, in this exact moment, not in the future, not what they can give me in future, because that is the problem. People fall in love with what someone can give you in the future, and you need to focus on the now. And to focus on the now, you need to understand why and how you show up in the now. And that is from your past. So to wrap up today's episode, the 8 stages to finding a boyfriend are: 1, do a previous partner audit to work out the cycles, to work out the personality traits that you are attracted to and that keep repeating on repeat. Two, reflect on your relationship with your mom and dad and work out what kind of intimacy and communication styles you are used to, because those are the communication and intimacy styles that you will keep around you. Three, that helps you understand your unconscious attraction, which is basically what your nervous system is attracted to and what your nervous system knows how to handle. Four, you got to understand this attachment hunger, and this is why you attach so quickly, particularly to the people that your unconscious attraction takes you to, who are often the wrong types of people for you. They're just the people that you know how to navigate, and you get butterflies and you get excitement because maybe, just maybe, you can change the end of the story this time. You got to understand that attachment hunger, which is why you attach so quickly to them and why you ignore and overlook the red flags even when you see them. And you know, like, oh, that's not cool. That's not cool how they just spoke to me or treated me like that. But that's okay. I'm just going to brush it under the carpet. Like, I'm sure it won't happen again. And when you've got those basics in place, you need to decide how you're going to meet people, whether that's in person or on the apps or a hybrid. If you're on the apps, you need to work out your strategy for the apps, your communication style on the apps, how you're going to connect with people on the apps, and allocate time to using the apps. Next, you have to decide when you meet someone and you start to engage with them, you need to understand what your dating standards are, what your qualifiers are, and what your deal breakers are. Without having so many, you are actually subconsciously blocking love and intimacy. And finally, part seven, at all parts of the process, you need to be communicating with yourself. How does this person make me feel right now in this moment? Not what they can give me or do for me in future. Ah, that was a journey, wasn't it? I've just been sitting up in this hotel bed talking to you and my whole back is like spasmed, but I didn't want to stop the flow. So, oh, big stretch. Anyway, I hope that was helpful for you guys. I feel like I've collated like a lot of what I did in therapy here into this process because it mainly helped me understand why I was attracting and entertaining and engaging the wrong type of individuals, but why it felt so good. And because it felt good, I was like, oh, this probably is going to be good, but it wasn't good and it always ended the same time and time again. And what you need to understand is that by doing that, you just keep repeating cycles where you're actually engaging with the wrong type of person. You're engaging with someone that's never going to be around with you in 30 years' time for so many reasons. But when you start to understand those patterns and you start to understand how they are hardwired into your biology, you actually can start to realize like, oh, I can take control of my nervous system. I can work with my nervous system. I can regulate my nervous system. I can rewire my subconscious mind. I can be clear on what I'm attracted to, what I'm entertaining with, and what I'm engaging, and also see the disconnect and the dissonance to how those types of individuals are not necessarily the type of person that I want to build a family with, want to get married with, or want to go and travel the world with, whatever your relationship goals are. So I hope you guys have loved this. If you enjoy it, please share it with someone that is dating, that is looking for their person, because I think there's a lot of good information in here. Obviously, I'm biased, but please share it with someone. And if you took value from this, please share it to your Instagram story and give us a review on Apple or Spotify. It really helps us to reach more people, which help make the whole podcast viable and really just so beautiful for everyone that's involved. So thank you so much. There are so many episodes that you can go back and listen to where we go into all of the things in this podcast deeper. We call that now a podcast pathway. You can start with episode 11 on unconscious attraction, episode 23 on attachment hunger, episode 30 on pacing, episode 45 on how to hack dating apps. There's also an episode on dating standards, I think it's 86, and episode 88, starting to understand the biology of your attraction. So if you want to go deeper, you can go deeper. Most of all, I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening and let me know what you want me to do my next solo episode on. Love ya!